Support for the Capital Connection comes from
United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
And New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is someone I've talked to for a long time on this program, the wonderful Ed Cox, who's back again as chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Ed Cox previously served 10 years as party chair from 2009 to 2019 until he left to lead a fundraising effort for then-President Donald Trump's bid for a second term. He was succeeded by Nick Langworthy, who is stepping down after being elected to Congress last fall. Welcome back to the Capital Connection, Ed Cox.
Alan, it's good to be back with you.
So, Ed Cox, what is it that you treasure about your present position, and what exactly is it?
Well, it is really, in some ways, I never left the state party. We went on from doing fundraising for then-President Trump for his reelection to doing the redistricting fight with respect to the fact that the Democrats who controlled all of Albany then, they had taken over the Senate, as you recall, in 2018. They already had the Assembly, and of course they had the governorship, and that put them in a perfect position to do a really big gerrymander, particularly of congressional districts. And they crammed all the Republicans into four districts, and they were going to take the other 22. And that just begged it to do some good litigation, which we did. It took a political effort before that, though, with respect to defeating the 2021 amendments, which would affect the litigation, to setting up the commission, which the Empire Center sued to make sure that they got funded, the legislature didn't really fund it. It finally got up and going, and testimony before it, and then the litigation went up to the highest court in New York State, and we won. And a special master came in, redrew all the districts. You could hear from California the squeals of the Democrats here that the perfect districts they had carved for themselves were now changed completely to being fair districts, competitive districts, not Republican districts, but fair districts. And of the nine fair districts, we won eight, plus three that were generally Republican. So we now have 11 members of the House of Representatives. And in that process, a whole team came together, not just a legal team, but a political team. And that political team then went on and did an independent expenditure pack for Lee Zeldin, helped him get 47% of the vote, which is quite extraordinary for a Republican candidate in New York, particularly one that was pro-life and pro-Second Amendment. We raised a total of $17 million, which was spent in the last 6 weeks. And then after that, as we were thinking what we might do, along came this opportunity to really move in and to establish a very strong center to the state party with me as chairman of the state party. But it's really a team effort going forward. It's not just me.
So what exactly does the chairman do?
Well, in this case, the chairman is going to be, first of all, there are 62 counties, 62 party chairs, and in the process of becoming chairman, you call them all. And I found that we have some really terrific new chairs, and particularly the upstate cities where we needed them, on Onondaga and Monroe and Erie and Broome. So we work with those chairs with respect to, and the local elections coming up, to recruit good candidates, make sure they're well-funded, get some momentum in the local elections, some good candidates out of that who can then run for the assembly seats or the Senate seats, or again, a good candidate, and this is a little bit different, who can run against Senator Gillibrand, who is up in 2024.
Can she be beaten?
Sure. What's her name again?
Yeah.
What has she done? You know, people don't know her. I'm not even sure she lives in New York any longer. And she really hasn't done much, certainly not much to benefit New York State while she has been in the Senate, so the U.S. Senate. So she is vulnerable. I think that there are rumors that, even Andrew Cuomo might challenge her.
You believe he might?
No, I don't believe the rumors. If you really pushed me on it, I would say, but I think AOC would very much like to challenge her. I think she's very vulnerable, Gillibrand, very vulnerable to a challenge from the left. But regardless, I do believe that she will be challenged. In any case, she is weak. We put up a strong candidate. I think we can make a good run at her.
And the strongest candidate you can think of off the top of your head right now is?
No, I do not have one off the top of my head. But I'm sure that there are those who will show up and others who we might talk to about doing it. But we do have to get started fairly quickly on that race. If you're going to run a statewide race, and this is what Lee Zeldin did, he got started in the year before, sometime in the spring. That's when you have to get started if you're going to a Republican making a run for a statewide office here in New York State.
Well, Ed Cox, we initially heard rumors that former Republican Congressman and Assemblyman John Faso would become the new chair of the New York GOP. You are, of course, say that you will rely on, among other things, Faso's advice in part because he spearheaded a successful challenge of Democratic drawn election district lines.
Well, yes, John and I were really co-leaders of that team, unpaid co-leaders of it. And John and I go way back to when you will call it 1994. And where John and I was with him and made a decision not to run for controller so that Herb London would run for controller and not run on the conservative line for governor and disrupt then candidate George Pataki's chances to be governor. As a result, George Pataki was a three-term governor. But ever since then, John and I have done a number of things together, and the redistricting effort and the independent expenditure effort for Lee Zeldin we did together, and we are really running the state party together. He is a very important part of it. I actually thought that he might be chairman of it. I did encourage that, but he would rather be, in essence, a co-leader of the party with me here.
So are you satisfied with the role that Republicans are playing in New York State?
No, we need a lot more strength to really play a strong role. We are very united. We have already had an impact in some ways, but they have not been in Albany per se. They have been using other means, the courts to get fair districts, which enabled us to pick up the 11 districts that we have, which gave us the majority in the House of Representatives. So that was a big contribution to the Republican Party that New York did, but it didn't really have anything to do with Albany per se. And supporting Lee Zeldin in his run for governor, which helped us win those congressional seats. But he got 47% was a real shock to the Democrats here. So we need to really do very well in this upcoming two-year cycle to break the supermajorities that the Democrats have in both the House and the Assembly, In Albany and in the Senate in Albany.
So I noticed that you said that the Republican Party in New York would not endorse former President Donald Trump for president before the primary is over. How come?
Well, I didn't say we would just not endorse Donald Trump, but I'll continue the policy that I had in 2016 as chair, and that is for the presidential primary in New York State, the chair of the party should remain neutral and welcome all candidates to come in, encourage them to come in, to campaign the state from one end to the other, to pick up as many delegates as they can, but in the process to really put some energy and funding in the sense of appearing at dinners and events to our county parties. County parties can do what they want depending upon how the members of the party in that county feel. They can endorse who they want. But in the end, I do, as the chairman of the party, I want candidates to feel they're all welcome here to help us support. And in the end, the voters, the Republican voters in the primary will decide who, and in 2016, it's really the New York party that decided, the base of it voted for Donald Trump, and he won the primary hands down. And 2 weeks later, he was the confirmed presumptive nominee of the party by winning Indiana, and Ted Cruz dropped out.
Wow. So how important is Trump to the contemporary Republican Party as you see it, particularly in New York, because that's where we're talking right now?
Well, we have New York issues here. We're dealing with New York issues. And because the far left have captured the leadership in our assembly and in our Senate and the supermajorities there, we find that here in New York, we are going to campaign on the basics, the very basics, the kitchen table issues. That is safe streets, good jobs, and good education. Now, frankly, 90% of the people in New York voters are going to be for that. You would think the politicians, the Democratic politicians who run Albany would be for that. But they have proven that they love to kill jobs, especially their leadership. You will recall that Mr. Gennaris in his own district, for fear of Madam AOC, killed 27,000 Amazon jobs. And I simply for his own, to save his own political hide. And I could cite other examples where the things that the Democrats running Albany did that to kill good jobs in New York, to hurt the economy in New York. Certainly with safe streets, they have, with respect to cashless bails, you know, those so-called bail reforms, crime has gone up, has become a particular problem. It was a major issue which carried Lee Zeldin to his 47%. He campaigned very hard on that. And then if you are talking about good education, there are education reforms like education savings accounts that are sweeping the country. And there's no thought of those. In fact, the Democrats in Albany have put Mayor Adams on a very short lease, only two years. It has to be renewed every 2 years for it to have mayoralty control of the schools. So the threat is if the mayor and his chancellor do not follow the dictates of the far left folk who are running the education committee, particularly one Chairman Liu, then they might lose their mayoralty control of schools. And, of course, they're trying to suffocate a very successful charter school system here, which is a very basic reform.
So how do you see the Republican Party right now? Do you think that it's really been reduced to a shell of what it could be based on the results that we've been watching?
No. The Republican Party, we have the high ground of the issues that people care about in New York. We have been coming back to say
Well, you don't have the assembly and you don't have the Senate, right?
We do not, but in fact, the party here in New York is responsible for there being a Republican majority in the House of Representatives and Nancy Pelosi no longer being the Speaker of the House. So we have certainly had an impact there. It's just that we had to focus on that, and we weren't able to focus as we wanted to with respect to the Senate and Assembly race. Now, we still picked up a Senate seat, and we picked up 5 seats in the Assembly, including, interestingly, 3 in Brooklyn, which isn't necessarily deemed to be friendly territory to Republicans. But you find that the Asian voters and the Hispanic voters are tending toward Republicans now.
When you say
and
tending,
Lee Zeldin did verse.
When you say tending towards, are you saying that you're going to get a majority of their votes, or you're just saying they're tending towards?
I think, in fact, in some districts, we did get a majority vote, and we elected an Asian Republican to the Assembly. The inroads that we've made, particularly in the Chinese community, are huge because they care about education and education where promotion in the schools you go to is based on merit. That's where we are. The Democrats are for much more socialist equality of outcomes, not equality of opportunity. And with the Hispanics, particularly when the Senate, for the first time ever, rejected the nominee of the governor to be chief judge of our highest court here, the Court of Appeals, that prominent judge, the presiding justice of the second department, happened to be Hispanic. And they turned on that judge for their own ideological reasons, smeared him, and for the first time ever, the Senate, and they tried to do it just in their committee, they rejected the nominee of the governor, who happened to be Hispanic. I have to tell you, the Hispanics, particularly the Hispanic lawyers and others, are hopping mad about that, and that's going to spread throughout the Hispanic community, and the inroads that we made there are only going to get larger and larger as we go up to the general election.
Well, I don't want to pick a fight with you, but when it comes to New York, it still is a Democratic state. You're not doing that well.
Well, it's very interesting. People really paid attention to Save Our State. People know that their children, fellow citizens, are leaving the state in droves. We're the highest tax state in the United States. The way the Democrats are managing or mismanaging the economy, they're only going to destroy more businesses. They're going to leave for other states. And the people are very concerned about the fiscal situation of the state, eventually the job situation of the state, that their children are not remaining in the state, they're going elsewhere. And that's why, even though Lee Zeldin maintained and he was pro-life, he did not discard that for the purpose of the general election, and pro-Second Amendment, he still got 47% without the benefit of a red wave.
So could he have won if he hadn't eschewed those two areas?
I don't know. I think people are so concerned about the fiscal issues, about the job issues, about the economic issues, about fellow citizens and their family leaving for other states, that the fact that he, even though they would have disagreed with him, a lot of New Yorkers, on those social issues, if you will, they said, well, he's standing firm on that. He'll stand firm on his pledge to save the state with respect to the economy of the state, to cut taxes, to rationalize the budget, and to use the budget properly for the citizens of New York State rather than just for the benefit of his party. They trusted him on his pledge because he stuck with his social values.
So what do you expect to happen in New York? Do you ever see a time when the Republicans can take it again?
That time is coming up because we have a budget here. Come on, we have a budget here that is twice the budget of Florida. And they've got 2 million more citizens, and they're doing just fine there. Our education system is the It's $30,000 per student. And yet we just rank sort of average along with Florida, where they don't spend, they spend 10 to 15, about half of that per student, and yet do just as well. Something's wrong with the way the system here, the special interests are running the show. And the Democrats in Albany are just concerned about, even though they have complete power, they want more power. At the present, they're trying to, because they lost the gerrymander fight in the highest court, they are corrupting the highest court in the state. They, in essence, have said to Governor Hochul, you're not going to pick the nominee, we're going to pick the nominee, by trying to reject her nominee at the Judiciary Committee level, not even taking it to the floor. Well, guess what? We Republicans sued the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, Tony Palumbo, a senator from Suffolk County, sued, and the court decided, yes, it should go to the floor for a vote. But that makes it a little bit more inconvenient. They can, if they can stop in the Judiciary Committee, which they rejected Justice LaSalle on a 10-9 vote only after they replaced some members of the Judiciary Committee. So they, in essence, by trying to reject it in the committee, they're saying to Governor Hochul, we can do this easy. We will rearrange the committee, whatever we got to do to make sure we reject your candidate so we can impose a far-left judge on the Court of Appeals, and we will tell that judge what to do. That is undermining a very basic foundation of our democracy, and that separation of powers, with the legislature taking over a court that is seen as the most, one of the most prestigious common law courts, not just in the United States, but in the world. And they're going to destroy it.
So you're a Republican. Obviously, you're in charge of a good deal of what the Republicans are doing in New York State. Are you happy with what's happening, or are you somewhat frustrated when you go home at night and complain that, my God, these Democrats are killing us?
Well, as I talk with all of the 62 county chairs in New York State,
right,
from Suffolk County to Brooklyn to Herkimer County, and everything in between, I am just really happy with the young blood that's coming into the party, because they know the Republican Party has the high ground. We're right on the issues. We're talking about the kitchen table issues. And these are the issues that are going to bring back New York. To use the campaign theme, which carried a lot of important policies with it, we are the party that's going to save New York.
And yet, with that, all of that said, and it sounds, you know, what I would be saying if I were you, but I'm not, you know, do you really believe that the Republicans in 2024 can take down the Democratic supermajorities? I say that a second time, supermajorities.
Sure.
In the state
absolutely.
Senate. I would say that if I were you, but I don't know that I could prove it.
Oh, sure. Sure. We're coming back, particularly in the suburbs, and the suburbs are the key. We lost the suburbs in 18, but we're back in Nassau and back in force. We have the county exec. We've got the legislature. We've got the towns. We've got the two congressional seats. We've got the four state Senate seats. We're, in fact, on all of Long Island. I do believe that we will get the last pieces that we don't have on Long Island, that in Suffolk County, and that Ed Romaine will win and be the next county exec and a Republican county exec, replacing a Democrat county exec running Suffolk County. And from there, I think we will be in a tough year. I think we'll do very well in the local races. I think there are a number of seats in the state Senate that were very close. We should have picked up, but they did not have the funds. They did not have the funds in part whenever they went to a major donor, this or that. And the deputy leader, Gennaris, learned about it. He would, in the end, make it clear to that donor, maybe it'd be better that they if they wanted to spend money on the campaign with respect to the Senate, maybe they should donate to the Democratic side and not the Republican side. But this time we're going to find sources of funding so that the when it comes down to the close races are there, the Senate will have the funds necessary to put into those close races, and we will win them next time. We'll break their supermajority in the Senate. I think we'll also pick up three more seats in addition to the five that we picked up last November, and also break the supermajority in the Assembly.
So how vulnerable is Kirsten Gillibrand?
I think she's very vulnerable. Simply, who knows her? Who knows what she did? I mean, what did she do? Can you tell us what she did? No one knows it. She's been a non-entity in the Senate, and she certainly hasn't done anything to benefit the folks, the voters in New York.
Well, we're almost out of time, so I wanted to ask you about Elise Stefanik. What's the word on her?
Well, she is now the third most powerful representative in the House of Representatives. And because she is the chair of the Republican Conference, and as a result, and the Republicans are in the majority thanks to the redistricting fight and our good candidates being well funded, and the fact that Lee Zeldin did so well on Long Island, huge majorities out of Long Island up the Hudson Valley, yep, where the competitive seats were. And as a result of that, it is very beneficial to New York to have the third most powerful representative in the House of Representatives to, in fact, be a representative from the state of New York.
Ed Cox, we are out of time. Ed Cox is chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Ed, I always love it when you come on and you tell us your perspective. It's so important.
It's always great to be on your show, Alan. Thank you.
Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262 or visit us online anytime at WAMC.org, or just schedule a podcast anywhere you get your podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another political conversation. Thanks for listening.